Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Calvin Christian Reformed Church. It's good to see you all here. A little sparser than normal, but then we have new people who are visiting who are helping make up for that. So if you're visiting with us this morning, it's good to see you as well. We pray a special blessing upon you on this Memorial Day weekend, that you would enter into worship with us and that you would see Jesus with us this morning. Before we get started in worship, a few announcements today. Our worship planning team is meeting this Tuesday, May 29th at 1:30 p.m. All are welcome to come and give input into our planning of worship. And also our men's Bible study will be meeting our last meeting for Bible study for the summer, and then we'll restart in the fall. But our last meeting for the summer will be, or before the summer, will be Wednesday, 6:30. We're going to look at Romans chapter 8. So if you're interested in that, we encourage you to come to that as well. Also, Sunday school is over now. Today was the last day of the adult Sunday school. It's over until the fall as well again. We're also still looking for a volunteer for our overseeing our Meals on Wheels program. The next time we are in charge of Meals on Wheels is July, so that is slowly approaching. So if you're interested in that, talk to me or one of the council members after the service. If you have questions about it, talk to Ina Bjorgi. That's all for our announcements this morning. Would you stand now for our call to worship? Today's call to worship comes from Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, burning angels, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Brothers and sisters, we have entered into that heavenly temple of glory this morning in the power of the Spirit. We have entered into the presence of the God who is holy, holy, holy. And we come before him singing a song of worship to him this morning. Come, thou almighty King. Come into the presence of the God who is thrice holy, 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 the triune God. The first Sunday after Pentecost is the Sunday of Trinity Sunday, when we celebrate God's triune nature. And so this morning, it is the triune God who greets you as he greets you every Sunday morning. Listen for the triune benediction of opening. Grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, the full power of the Spirit, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the rulers of the kings of this earth. Grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, from the Father, from the sevenfold Spirit, the Spirit of God, and from Jesus Christ, the incarnate Word, the triune God. Grace and peace to you, brothers and sisters. And having received God's blessing and greeting this morning, we confess our sins to the Almighty Triune God, saying together, Holy God, holy and mighty, holy immortal one, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And it is the Triune God who assures us of his love in the face of our sins. The Father sends the Son for our redemption. The Son redeems us, and the Spirit brings us into that redemption. Brothers and sisters, if you have confessed your sins this morning, the Father says to you through the Son and the Spirit, you are forgiven. The Spirit assures you that that is true. And Jesus nods an amen. Brothers and sisters, you are forgiven. Never forget that. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you from all your sins, and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And having received that assurance of our peace with our triune God, who brings us into his light and into his love, we turn to one another and we pass that assurance on, we pass that peace on, greeting each other in Christ's name this morning.
The two contacts were married.
I'm reading Genesis 1, the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate the water from the water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky, and there was evening. There was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees, the land that bear fruit with seed in it according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give them light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea, and every living thing with which the water teems, and that moves about in it according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. This is the word of the Lord.
Our psalm reading this morning comes from Psalm 29, and we will read it responsively together. Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare, and in his temple all cry, glory. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. Brothers and sisters, this too is the word of the Lord.
Romans 8, 12 through 17. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh, to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are God's children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory, this is the word of the Lord.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from two portions of Matthew's gospel. Matthew 3, a portion from that, and then the final verses of Matthew's gospel. And if you're visiting with us, we always read the gospel from the center of the people of God because it symbolizes that the Trinity has saved us. The one God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, sends the Son into our very midst to take on human flesh on our behalf so that we might be brought into him by the Spirit. So Jesus has come near to each of us. He has come into our very midst. So hear now the words of the Lord, the words of Jesus, near to you in your very heart. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And after Jesus' resurrection, he gave us these, his final words. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. Brothers and sisters, this is the good news of the Lord, the gospel of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we take a break from our series in Hebrews this morning to focus on God as Trinity. This is Trinity Sunday, after all. And if you've been with us in Sunday school the last 3 weeks, you know that we have looked at the creeds of the church, including the Nicene Creed, which we will say after the sermon together, and the definition of Chalcedon this morning. How we confess that God is one holy triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in one being, one essence. So this morning we're going to look at what that means, what it means that God is Trinity, and perhaps in some ways more importantly, why it all matters. So will you pray with me this morning? Holy Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as always we need you. We have entered into your presence, you have brought us here in the Spirit, and we have entered into your presence to see Jesus. To enter into his life, and so, Father, be brought into your presence. Be with us this morning. May the Spirit work on our hearts. May the Spirit open our ears and our eyes. May we be brought into Jesus to share with him in the life and love of the Father. Bless my words. May they be faithful. May they be useful. And may they be to your glory. We pray all of this, Father, in Jesus' name, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So the summer after I turned 18, several cars snaked up the 7-mile driveway to my parents' house. And it was a hot day in the summer, but not too hot. And people were piling out of those cars onto the shale driveway right next to the garage there. And one of the people who piled out was an old hill preacher, a country preacher named Joe Lind. Joe Lynn was a monstrous man. He was well over 6 feet tall, although by Dutch standards he was probably short, but he was very tall. One of those men who had, you know, long fingers, the calloused brown hands from hard work. He ran a sawmill up in Hysham, Montana, and every week he would drive the 80 miles one way to come preach at our little country church. Joe was one of those preachers that we always called a sort of rabbit trail preacher. His sermons went all over the place, and they made even the hardiest Bible student fall asleep. And yet he was a man of a broad smile and a generous spirit. And today he had gone into my parents' house, and he had taken off his usual Wranglers and button-down T-shirt for this time of year. During the winter, he always wore this sort of yellowish sweater that had sort of brown on it, almost kind of like Charlie Brown, really tall, and then some sort of black or brown slacks. But in the summer, he'd wear Wranglers and a button-down shirt with a bolo tie. He had changed out of that into a pair of sort of white, brownish painter's coveralls. And he had in the breast pocket of his coveralls this wadded-up, crinkled red bandana. And more people were arriving at my parents' house, and I came out of the house dressed in my white T-shirt, my swimming trunks, and a pair of old sandals. I'd had those sandals for many years. They were favorites. That'll be important later. I get out onto the lawn there, and the old preacher looks at me. He says, "You ready?" I say, "Yeah." So he gestures to everyone, and we go across the little shale road, and we squirm our way through the pole fence that my father has put around our pond. Now, my parents' pond near their house is something from primeval times. It's black, because there's black mud that's knee-deep, welling up from the depths. You get in too far into that, you're not getting out. It's powerful. The mud will suck you down. There are swaths of green, dinosaur green moss that covers it, right? Cattails surging from the banks. And so we gather beside the pond, and as the preacher begins to talk, my father cuts a stick and he begins to sort of move the moss and sort of out of the way to make room for two people in the pond. And as soon as he's done and the preacher is done talking, and I don't remember much of what Joe Lynn said on that day, but I do remember what happened next. The two of us, the country preacher and me, the 18-year-old boy, went down into those chaos waters, those primeval waters. Got in, and no sooner are we out of ways than I can't move because my knees are trapped in the black muck. Standing there, surrounded by friends and family and cattails and probably some water snakes somewhere. And the preacher looks at me and asks me a question, and I nod yes, and then, with his gravel-filled voice, scratching with a bit of emotion, he had watched me grow up, the old preacher said those ancient words, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And with a push, he pushed me back towards the water. Now, of course, this actually didn't work well because I couldn't move my knees, so I just bent my knees and laid down. And I went down into the cold, grave water, and the water was pulling me down towards the muck. And then I felt one of those calloused hands on the back of my neck. Thankfully, he had taken that red handkerchief and put it over my mouth so I didn't get any of this pond water in my mouth. And then he pulled me back up. Back into the light. The wind on my face, the sun sparkling on those primeval waters. And then we both thrashed and tried to get out of the pond. My father pulled on one of Joe's arms, and he got his big long legs moving, and he managed to get out. And then my father had to take both of my arms and pull, and with a shloop, my bare feet came out, and I left my sandals forever in the primeval waters. And we went back to the house, and my father sprayed off all the mud and muck off of both of us. We got changed again, and there was a big potluck, a celebration. I'd been baptized. My parents were thrilled. My grandparents were beside themselves with joy at what I had done. And yet, really, in some ways, I really hadn't done anything except leave my sandals in the pond. Someone else had been at work at that moment. A God had been at work in that moment. A God hovering over those primeval waters. The breath of that God, the spirit of that God there, and that God speaking a word in that moment as I came back to life out of the water. A God with a specific name, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the triune God. Not just any God, but specifically this God, who as I came up out of that water proclaimed, I have created this boy, I am recreating this boy, and I am asking this boy to participate in my recreation. Today is Trinity Sunday, the day that we celebrate that God is triune. And oftentimes in the church, when we hear that name is at a baptism. A baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And of course, Jesus himself has commanded us this, right? This is actually Jesus' last gift to us. This gift of the name, the one name of the threefold God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We read it this morning as part of our gospel reading. And Jesus goes there to Galilee. The people come to him on a mountain, and he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. One name that is threefold, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as the Methodist thinker Tom Oden once said, we spend the rest of our life trying to explain what our baptism means, what it means to be baptized into this triune name. He said, in fact, this is the goal of all Christian thinking and theology, to explain what it means to be baptized into the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And yet we are Americans. We are good pragmatic people. America is nothing if not known for being pragmatic, even all the way back in the 1700s when Alexis de Tocqueville came and did his famous tour of America. All he could say was, wow, the American people are so practical and pragmatic. They just do what works, what's useful. And that sort of American spirit has permeated us in the church, for better and for worse. And in one area that's a little troubling sometimes, we begin as good pragmatic people to wonder about something like the Trinity. Because the doctrine of the Trinity really isn't that practical in one sense, right? It's not about something really we do. It doesn't seem to be connected with raising our children, or milking our cows, or balancing our checkbook. It just seems kind of abstract and cold and kind of distant. It seems like a theological word game. God is one, but he's three. No, he's three, but he's one. It's as if we can't count in the church, right? And we sit there and we're like, what? This seems like some sort of trivia that doesn't really have anything to do with me as a person. And so we could all sympathize with the 19th century German thinker Friedrich Schleiermacher, who once said, you know, it really doesn't matter in the Christian life whether God is one or one in three or one in ten. It makes absolutely no difference for our lives because the Christian life is about what we do. Religion is about what we do. The Trinity isn't practical. And that is true. The Trinity is not practical. It's not useful. And that's precisely the point. The Trinity, the doctrine of the Trinity, the Christian teaching that God is one in three, three in one, which we gather from Scripture, from every corner of Scripture, is not useful to us because it's not about something we do. The doctrine of the Trinity is about a God who does something. It is about God's life, His nature, His beauty, His wonder within Himself. It's not about us primarily. It is about God. God and His glory. You see, God is not some sort of lonely being out there in the darkness, far removed, what the philosophers would call a monad, a single entity, static, Aristotle's unmoved mover, who just sort of sits there, alone, cold. God is not like that. God is an abundance of life within Himself. God is communion within His very being. There is the Father, who is the fountain of all life. There is the Son, who mediates all life, and the Spirit, who perfects all life. And this God, this triune God, who is one in three, three in one, is always giving within Himself. The Father gives to the Son gives to the Father, the Spirit gives to the Father, to the Son, and on it goes, round and round, in this great song, this great dance of the divine being. One God in three persons, overflowing with life and love within the very nature of God. God is one, and yet He is not alone. He is fellowship, He is communion and community within Himself. And so He is not alone. He is a sharer of life and love and joy. Threefold, holy, 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 as the angels sing. And it is precisely this kind of God, a God who overflows with life, who creates. You see, the holy and impractical, useless doctrine of the Trinity teaches us, Scripture teaches us, that it is only a triune God who wants to create. The Welsh thinker Rowan Williams puts it this way. He says, because God is Trinity, because He is this overflowing of giving within Himself, Father to Son, Son to Father, Spirit to Son, Spirit to Father, Father to Spirit, on and on, back and forth, round and round, this always giving and receiving, this overflow of love and communion. Because God is like that, it's according to His nature to create, to make other creatures, to make those that are other than Him that He might share with them, that He might pour out His joy, His threefold joy and love and peace upon those creatures, that He might invite them into wonder. Only a God who has this kind of nature, one who is one and yet one who is three within Himself, one who overflows with giving, would give again, would overflow and spin the world into being, would create the sun, moon, and stars. We read it this morning, Genesis 1. The English is a little bit muddy, but the Hebrew plays with us. It toys with us. Genesis 1. Did you know the word for God there is the word Elohim in Hebrew? The word Elohim is actually a plural word. In some of the Psalms, it is actually translated as gods. So, you know, in some of the Psalms where it says, and Yahweh the Lord takes His seat, His throne above all the other gods. Those are Elohim. But here in Genesis 1, every verb, every action that this Elohim does is singular. And so that tells us that we are to translate it as a singular God. So you have this Elohim that is plural and yet singular. And of course, scholars have fought over this for years. What does this mean that Elohim is plural? And at the very least, they say, if even if they're not confessing Christians, most of them are not. But at the very least, they will say, well, it shows this sort of overflowing abundance within God, this power upon power upon power, life upon life upon life, honor upon honor, glory upon glory. And yet, Genesis 1 offers even more. It teases us with this. Think about the first few verses. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. It was chaos. It was a primeval waters that he has created. Darkness over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of Elohim was hovering over the waters. And Elohim said, "Be light." And light. So you have this God overflowing with being within himself, whose breath, whose spirit is over the waters, and then he speaks a word. One who is the fount, through whom all things are made, and through all, whom all things spring into being. Later on, of course, in the chapter, what does it say? And God said, "Let us make the Adam, let us make the human in our image." And in the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. The one who is communion within himself, who is relationship within himself, creates humanity in relationship, male and female in relationship. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Only a triune God creates. Only a God who is giving within himself will give another world, that he might give to that world, that he might overflow with abundance. And the Father originates it, the Son mediates it, and the Spirit perfects it. We can hear the words of the Apostle John, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through him," through the Word, through Jesus. "And not anything that was made without him." And then the Spirit, the giver of life. Where the Spirit is, there is freedom, there is new creation. Three in one, one in three. A God overabounding with life within himself, communion within himself, creating a world to bring into communion with himself. Only a triune God creates, and so only a triune God recreates. We know the rest of the story, right? After Genesis 1, we come to chapter 2, the creation of man retold, and then Genesis 3. And human beings seem bent on throwing the world back into chaos, back into primeval, roiling waters of sin and death and destruction, about formlessness and void and darkness in the deep. They seem intent on stirring up the muddy pond waters. And yet, the triune God has been here before. And so again, Elohim, his Spirit rests over the waters, and he speaks a word, Son. We read of Jesus. Jesus comes to John. John says, I should be baptized by you. Why are you telling me to baptize you? And Jesus says, let this be done to fulfill all righteousness. And so John consents. And Jesus then coming up out of the water, what happens? Heaven is opened, and the Spirit of God descends, hovers like a dove alighting on him. The word in Genesis 1, the hovering, that's something that a bird does. Hovering on him, and the Father speaks a word, Son, this is my Son whom I love, my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. The world that is caught and mired and pushing towards chaos, once again, the triune God creates, but this time recreates. New creations springing into being, being inaugurated in Jesus' ministry. And of course, this is not the first time that this sort of image, that this sort of Trinitarian power and life and love has overflowed into this disordered chaos, primeval world. We see it at the Red Sea, right? Israel going through, Pharaoh chasing after them. And what does God do? He sends his spirit, his wind over the waters to blow them back. And he speaks a word of promise. And the people come through safely to the other side. In Jesus' own life, Mary, Luke tells us in his gospel, Mary is visited by the angel Gabriel. And the angel says, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Again, in the ancient mind, the womb is a place of chaos waters, a primal place of fertility, a place of roiling. The Spirit upon the womb, the Father's promise, a Son. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, new creation. Only a triune God creates the world, and only a triune God recreates the world. Only a triune God recreates it to bring it into new creation. This is why we are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, the one God in three persons, is a God who creates and is the only God who can and who will recreate us. Because our lives are roiling chaos. We are heirs of Adam and Eve. We are sinners. We have a tendency towards death. We have a tendency towards law-breaking, towards disorder, towards primeval chaos. We like the little water serpent more than we like the order of God. And so God recreates us. We come out of those waters remade. But not only does the God who is triune create and recreate, but he also invites us in our baptisms to participate in his divine life, in his communion within himself. We read in Romans this morning, Paul says, all who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, says Paul, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him you cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit brings you into the baptism of Jesus. The Spirit brings you into who Jesus is, and the Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And if we are God's children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Only a triune God creates, only a triune God recreates, and only a triune God invites us to participate. Our baptism as a commission. I have created you, I have recreated you, and I will continue to recreate you. Will you join in that recreation? Will you be a co-heir with Christ? Will you enter into Jesus' work here around you in this world? My overflowing life and love is yours to share in. I have brought you into my embrace once again. The Spirit bringing us through Jesus to the Father. Father to Son to Spirit. Spirit to Son to Father. And so we are brought into that divine dance, into that voice calling back and forth within God himself from all ages of past to all ages of future. Communion. Communion within God himself, and we are invited to participate in that so that all we do as we raise our children, as we milk our cows, as we balance our checkbooks, all is done within the triune God's life and love, within his overflowing action. So no, the triune God is not practical. He's not relevant in that sense. He's not useful to us. And that's the point. He is the one who is acting. He is the one who makes us useful. He is the one who makes us relevant to Him. He is the one who creates, recreates, and invites us to participate. Brothers and sisters, this is why the Trinity matters. Because it's about God, who He is, a God overflowing with life and love, a God who is holy laughter and joy ringing out in three voices within the one Godhead, calling us into that life and love, into that communion with Him once again. He creates, He recreates, and He invites us to participate in His life and in His love. So we, in the Spirit, by the power of the Spirit, for the Spirit enables us to do this, this is what Romans says, the Spirit is the one bringing us into Jesus and then to the Father, will we enter in? Will we rejoice in this God? Will we sing His praises? And will we bow our knees before Him in worship, giving glory to God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who acts on our behalf, who creates us, recreates us, and invites us to participate. He is our good news. He is our gospel. In the one name of the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. In response to God's word this morning, I would invite you to stand, and we are going to recite the Nicene Creed together, the creed that all churches in the Christian world recite and say together, the creed about the triune God. So will you stand and affirm your faith in the one holy triune God of Scripture? We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation He came down from heaven. He became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and became human. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. The third day He rose again according to the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will have no end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. He proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified. He spoke through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We affirm one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life in the world to come. Amen. Brothers and sisters, our song of response this morning is, Holy God, we praise your name.
Thank you.
seated. It's now time for us to enter into the life of that triune God, to bring our prayers before the Father in the Spirit through the Son. Will you pray with me this morning? Holy triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we do praise your one name, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the name that we have been baptized into, the name that water has been splashed upon us in. Lord, we give thanks that you are the God who creates, who recreates, and who invites us to participate in your recreation. Lord, if you were a lonely God far up there in the darkness and far out of our reach, you would never have made a world without some sort of neediness, needing us. But you didn't need us, Lord. You were filled with life and love within yourself, a community within yourself. And so you created us in joy, to be part of your joy, to enter into who you are, to sing praise to you. Lord, if you were many gods and not one God, you might fight amongst yourselves if you were many and not one. And yet you are one God that we go to for salvation. Not God, different gods that we could go to, trying to fight them one against the other, vying for hope amidst the wars of the gods. No, you are one God, and yet a God overflowing with life within yourself. And so we rest in you, triune God. We are grateful for who you are, and that we live and we move and we have our being in you, that we have our hope in you, and that we have our calling in you. Lord, help us to enter in by your Spirit and participate in your life and in your love in every area of our lives, whether it's balancing our checkbooks, whether it's raising our children, whether it's milking our cows, whatever it is, Lord, bring us into communion with you, love for our neighbors and for you. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we bring before you those in our midst and those who are related to us and friends who are ill, who need a special sense of your presence, your power, and your life that overflows within you. We think of John and Mary Van Hill's daughter, Sandra. Lord, would you provide her healing, we pray. Lord, you are our Father, and you come to us in the Son, in the power of the Spirit. And we know that all of Jesus is all of your promises, the truth of them, the amen of them. And we know that on the final day we will all be resurrected, and that cancer and death and all the different things will be undone. And yet we pray for a foretaste of that for Sandra as well. We pray the same for Greg Smith, Lord. Help him with his cancer. Press it back. We are thankful that he is doing so well. Lord, keep the treatments effective and bless him with healing. We pray as well for Tom Bjorge. Lord, we pray that his treatments would be effective also. We pray for healing for him as well. Bless him also with a sense of your triune presence. Lord, we pray for Glenda Hoffland with her lungs. Lord, we pray that you would draw near to her as Father, Son, Spirit, and encircle her with your life and love. It's hard for her to leave the house, so bless her there, we pray. We pray for our other shut-ins, Lord. We pray for Patty Ritzema. We pray for Margaret Hopp. We pray for Denise Masterbergen and Jan Sneller. Lord God, Almighty King, be near to each of them and pour out your overflowing life and love of creation, recreation, and of participation upon them. Bless them where they are, we pray. Lord, we pray for those of us who may not be ill in body, but who are ill in spirit, whose lives feel like chaos, whose lives feel like roiling waters of sin, sometimes our own sin, but sometimes the sins of others, sometimes just the deeps and darkness of this world, in all of its chaos and brokenness. We pray for those, Lord, who are caught in that. We pray, Lord, that your Spirit would hover over them once again, and that you, Father, would speak your word, Jesus, to them. Reveal yourself to them and help them to see you. Grant your peace upon all those who suffer in that way, we pray. And now, Spirit of God, take all of our hearts, minds, and lift us up in the Son to pray the Son's prayer to the Father this morning, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. At this time, I would invite our deacons forward to take our offering. Brothers and sisters, will you stand for God's blessing this morning? Brothers and sisters, the Trinity is the one thing that makes Christianity unique. I don't know if you know that, but there are other religions, of course, out there that proclaim one God. In fact, we actually know from ancient sources that there were Egyptian forms of religion that believed in one God. And yet, it is the Christian confession that it is not just one God, but one God in three persons, a God overflowing with life and love, who saves, who creates, and who invites us into his very life. This is what makes you distinct. This God, not another God. This is the God whose name you have been baptized into, a God who signs, seals to you in that moment that you belong to him, that he has created you, that he is recreating you, and that he is calling you to participate in who he is. Receive his blessing this morning, not another God's blessing, the triune God's blessing. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. And all of God's children said together, Amen.